lovely day we're having here. Lovely. Absolutely gorgeous. That's why we live here in Florida. The fall is my favorite time. Good morning and welcome. It's 9:07 and it's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And your time check. Why, that's brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. I can imagine the weather still being quite fine early in May when we're going to have a great, good time. Rock the Country Show coming to town, Ocala, May 9th and 10th. Here's what we're talking about. Kid Rock, Hank Jr., Nickelback, Tracy Lawrence, and many more. These tickets go for $139 each. We're going to give a pair away, and here's how you win. You simply text the word KID, K-I-D, to 20357. Go ahead and do it now if you're not driving. Data and message rates may apply. If you can't do it right now, you can remember this. Text KID to 20357. Please don't text and drive. Good luck on that one. Rock the Country Festival for We the People. Coming to Florida. Horse Park, Ocala, May 9th and 10th. It's going to be huge. Tracy Lawrence, Gavin Adcock, Jody Messina, and of course, I already mentioned Kid Rock, Hank Jr. Big time. Big show. Lots of fun. And back to the real world. Elections. Sorry. A Minnesota election judge has been hit with felony charges for allegedly allowing several people who were not registered to vote to cast ballots in this most recent election you may have heard of. Hubbard County Auditor Kay Rave could not locate any completed registration forms among the ballots she received from Bedora Township Head Election Judge Timothy Michael Scouten. A criminal complaint obtained by NBC Chicago. Scouten, 64, had been overseeing the election process in a small township of about 100 people. It's 170 miles northwest of Minneapolis. Officials began investigating after receiving the complaint from Rave, and then another judge who worked with Scouten on election night told a Hubbard County Sheriff's Office investigator that Scouten, this is the judge in question, directed voters not to fill out the Minnesota voter registration application. Why, that's a bit odd. Yet another election judge told investigators that he was not aware that the Minnesota voter registration application form even existed.
Wow.
You actually are an election judge.
Right.
And you actually are not aware that voter registration application forms even existed.
Okay.
What did you think the mechanism was? I mean, is this a person who maybe doesn't even cast a vote in elections?
Makes you wonder.
Wow. Scouten told him that the new voters were only supposed to sign the back of the book. This incorrect statement allegedly led to 11 people voting illegally.
Uh-oh.
Investigators found out that Scouten's son was also working as an election judge and was supposed to be responsible for registering applications. Scouten was arrested by the sheriff's department last week, charged with one count of accepting the vote of an unregistered voter, one count of neglect of duty by an election official. By the way, they're both felonies.
Ooh, that's serious stuff then.
Scouten declined to provide a statement upon arrest. The arrest election judge reportedly, the arrested judge finished his basic and head election judge training in July. The Minnesota Secretary of State's office said in a statement to the local Fox affiliate that the allegations are being taken seriously. Yeah, I would think that they would and should. Now, remember, you're thinking, 11 people. Really? You're going to make a big case out of that? Yeah, the township only has 100 people in it.
Wow.
It only has 100 people, and I'm in, let's just say 90 of them vote. Well, now you've got clearly over 10% of the vote being fraudulent. 10% or more.
And this is an instance we know about.
Exactly.
It's the ones we don't know about, we're concerned about.
Exactly. What's going on in Pennsylvania? Oh, they're still counting ballots.
That's weird.
Yeah. They're counting ballots from Gettysburg 1863, you know, on this date, 1863.
Yeah.
Fourscore, 7 years ago today.
They're still not
Abraham Lincoln.
They're still not sure he won.
Was on the was on that caboose.
Yep.
All right. So Pennsylvania Supreme Court is ordering boards of elections throughout the state to follow its previous rulings. The previous rulings were stop counting. Huh? What'd you say? Stop counting.
They got to keep counting until they get the ones they want, it sounds like.
That would seem to be the case. Yeah. Stop counting mail-in and absentee ballots that fail to comply with the state election code. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court issued its ruling on Monday as elections board officials in Bucks County in particular have defied Pennsylvania Supreme Court precedent and moved to count ballots that the court has determined cannot be counted. The court says these can't be counted. Well, we're going to count them anyway.
Okay.
So a long history of bucking the system, hence the name Bucks County. Get it?
Ah.
Little Pennsylvania humor for you. Mm-hmm. Just add Scrapple, and it's all good.
There you go.
I actually was in Bucks County at the Playhouse.
Really?
Saw The Sound of Music perform live.
Were the Hills Alive?
Definitely.
With The Sound of Music.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a very good performance. Enjoyed it very much.
Nice.
I was still a child, but I have a great, great memory and great memories. Republican National Committee, Republican Party of Pennsylvania, brought the lawsuit against all 67 counties in PA. Look, so this is not new. The court already ruled. Now the court has to keep going, stop! Stop! It is ridiculous.
It's amazing.
It's gotten out of hand. We talked about this, you know, all about the election, up to the election and all that. This period before the election is too long, but after the election's over, you find ballots, you know, you find three or four of them on the floor. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. You find thousands in a box in the corner. No, especially no after what we've all been through. Oh, we found these. Guess where these... Wasn't there one I could have swore, if my memory serves me well, and it usually does, mm-hmm. It was like Fort Lauderdale, where they actually found thousands of votes in a shed. This was in this recent election.
Right.
This
right.
is going back a few elections. But yeah, found a bunch of them in a shed. Like, why were they in the shed?
That's weird.
Yes.
Just weird.
That is weird. All right.
Look who we're dealing with.
The union representing Democratic National Committee employees.
They have a union?
Yeah, the DNC. I would thought, you know, the DNC would probably be made up of a lot of volunteers with, you know, a few paid positions.
Right.
I didn't know they would need or have union reps, but it's the Democrats. All right.
Well they love them some unions, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Get their own.
Well, apparently the employees are very upset about staffing cuts that typically occur when there's an election loss. I mean, one thing is the election's over, win or lose.
Mm-hmm.
If you were working for the DNC leading up to the election, there's a good chance when said election is over, you know, then maybe your job may be cut.
That could happen.
The layoff of union workers is the latest instance of the Democrat Party assailing the working class while protecting the donor class. The committee's leadership is trying to save face with big Democrat donors after a claim Vice President Kamala Harris would win the presidential election. Well, the loss left the Harris campaign $20 million in debt.
But uh-huh. They're still asking for money, though, because they're having a resistance.
Well, they need money.
Yeah.
Can we foreclose on the DNC, I guess, is really our question.
Well, they are bankrupt.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
From a solo
bankrupt morally and ethically as well. I agree.
Yeah.
It's 9:16. We're about 30 minutes away from things that make you smile. More headlines on the way. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And the Bob Rose Show podcast is available wherever you normally get your podcast. Just click subscribe. 97.3 The Sky. Good morning. Welcome. 921 Time Check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling.
Happy birthday, Paul.
Yes. Very much so. Enjoy, enjoy. And also, look, the top story is not a good one. Putin's lowered the threshold to use nukes at the same time, virtually at the same time. Zelensky fired one of those long-range missiles over there, hit inside of Russia, hit some kind of, military installation of some sort. This is not good. Why did Biden wait so long to give him those missiles when they were asked for a long time ago? And why now? Why now at the last minute when you're a lame duck president? Leave a mess for someone else? Yeah, it's very possible. Mm. Oprah wasn't lying.
What?
I thought you were. Yes.
About what? Said,
you were paid $1 million to give your endorsement to Kamala Harris. She denied that. Turns out Oprah was right. So look, it was. She wasn't paid $1 million. She was paid $2.5 million.
Oh, so she was telling the truth.
Wow. Yeah. You like how that works? Uh-huh. I did not kill three people. I killed four. I did not kill three people. That's a fact. Oprah Winfrey's production company was reportedly paid more than double the previous estimate for hosting its September live stream event with Kamala Harris. The latest embarrassing revelation about the campaign's spendthrift habits in its pursuit of celebrity endorsements. Harpo Productions was paid $2.5 million. To put on the Celebrity Pact event with a previous estimate of $1 million, according to a report from the New York Times, which cited two unnamed sources who were briefed on the details. The live stream event, which many have likened to a glossy infomercial, featured a luxurious set that accommodated a live studio audience, as well as impressive graphics that allowed Hollywood stars, including Julia Roberts and Meryl Streep, to participate virtually. Oprah Winfrey has publicly denied that she personally received any money from the Harris campaign, but has acknowledged that her company was paid for putting on the show. Oh, the revelation comes as the Kamala Harris campaign is facing $20 million in deficits. That's right. They blew through over $1 billion war chest.
Is that crazy?
A billion.
Man.
Yep. And I guess the campaign chair, Jen O'Malley Dillon, they're facing mounting questions about who authorized the payments and why so much was spent on celebrities. Breitbart has reported the campaign splurged big time on a series of election eve concerts featuring Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, Jon Bon Jovi, and more. The concerts, which were held in crucial swing states, were intended to encourage low propensity voters to turn out for Kamala Harris. In the end, of course, President Donald Trump won all seven swing states and came in under budget. Yep. The campaign of Kamala Harris has relied way too much on celebrities, especially in its closing weeks. Following Kamala's loss to Trump, the campaign facing criticism for prioritizing all these Hollywood elites over the concerns of ordinary Americans. They pretty much ran a campaign making almost every mistake you could at every turn. So I think that the American people have really dodged a bullet because, you know, if you want somebody like a Kamala Harris and the people she thinks are good to surround her to run this country, yeah, she'd be running it all right. Right into the ground. Mm-hmm. Who's ready to do a little Trumpy dance?
Oh, yeah.
Never too early for a little Trumpy dance.
Nope.
I saw the Hulkster was on Fox News with Laura Ingraham.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah. And he did a, seated, on camera, yeah, Trump, right. Trump dance.
That's cool.
And that was a great interview, I thought. The Trump dance has swept the NFL, college football, even the UFC octagon. But that's not the only place where the celebration is sweeping the sports nation. Charlie Hull of Britain a rising LPGA golf star and the world's 12th ranked female golfer, busted out the Trump dance during the final round of the Annika on Sunday, and she battled the world's top female golfer, Nelly Korda. While the Trump dance has become widespread amongst American athletes, this is one of the first times a foreign athlete has performed it. And for that, we love you.
Nice.
Lions, a couple of Lions players, Zadarius Smith, Malcolm Rodriguez did it, Titans receiver Calvin Ridley and Nick Westbrook-Kine, and they had the Raiders tight end, Brock Bowers. Yeah. And then come to find out, the lefties are still up to their old tricks.
What are they doing?
Remember I said, look, you know, the media, maybe they're starting to understand, you know, if you want to relate to the American public, this Trump derangement syndrome, you're going to have to, self-medicate or something.
Yeah, right.
On Sunday, NFL players nationwide were seen performing the Trump dance, as I just mentioned. And the CBS X account, NFL on CBS, opted to remove a video of the Raiders celebratory dancing from its social media posts. And of course, fans were not pleased. But what would be their reasoning behind that? Why would they actually go? They'd have to go out of their way to remove it. You know, generally, when you know your team's celebrating, you want that to be shown, right?
Sure, you do.
During the third quarter of the Las Vegas Raiders-Miami Dolphins game on Sunday, Brock Bowers performed his version of the Trump dance upon making a touchdown. After scooting past Dolphins safety Javon Holland, Bowers performed his little celebratory dance to the glee of his teammates. But when fans later saw the segment on the NFL on CBS X account, the Trump dance was mysteriously absent. The video clip account goes from Bowers striding into the end zone for a touchdown right to Mark Davis and his upheld fists. No Trump dance. Well, fans noticed. They were not happy, and they let them know that.
Well, good for them.
Yeah, but you think the social media, these platforms and these companies, still they're still not getting it, huh?
Yeah, you think that'd have caught on by now, though.
Nope, slow learners for sure.
Slow.
Easy to brainwash, slow to teach.
Yeah.
It is 9:28. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We're about 15 minutes away from things that make you smile, and a code word coming up to possibly win Rock the Country tickets. Don't go anywhere. News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Tuesday.
What's going on with America?
Because everyone knows it's ridiculous.
You got game?
It's a mess.
Here we go. What do you want to start with?
Brought to you by Florence Recycling.
It's time to clean it up.
Satisfaction guaranteed or double your trash back.
This is Trash Talking Tuesday.
News Talk 97.3 The Sky.
Happy Trash Talking Tuesday from Florence Recycling. And happy birthday, Paul, by the way. It is 9:36 right now. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We've got plenty to talk about. The top story, though, is Vladimir Putin getting hot under the collar, said the threshold to use nukes, kind of lowering that at the same time. Apparently, Zelensky already fired one of them long-range missiles right into Russia inside their border. So things are rather tense right now. And thanks, Brandon, comes to mind, but it's much more serious than that. We'll continue to follow this story, and hopefully things are going to simmer down.
Yes, like your mama told you, simmer down over there.
How much have you been following the case of the guy who was, I think, being a good Samaritan on the subway? He choked a guy out and accidentally killed him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, he charged with second-degree manslaughter and criminally negligent homicide. I thought the trial would be long over by now.
Nope.
Apparently not.
No.
But is this a case where, you know, the do-gooder is being punished? It sure seems
it does. It does feel that way.
Look, anytime you mess around with chokeholds, I mean, that's one of the reasons why they don't really use them in law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, they're effective, but they're also occasionally deadly training in martial arts. We would work with some of that stuff.
Right.
But it was under extreme caution with the instructor there who had probably at that time 35 years of experience, previous law enforcement experience, et cetera. We basically had to kind of revive you a little bit.
Right.
And it is an interesting feeling when they turn the lights out on you.
I can imagine.
And if the person is good, like he clearly was, at doing it, applying it, it's not like there's pain and struggle. It just happens way too quick.
Yeah.
You're like, because it's not a windpipe thing. You're cutting off the blood flow,
yeah.
Yeah.
Your brain says, good night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's not something you play with, as some semi-famous people have found out.
Yeah.
The wrong way.
Speaking of martial arts.
Yeah. Kung Fu, David Carradine.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, this is Daniel. This is the story of Daniel Perry. I mean, this is the guy. And his sister and childhood friend pleaded his case to jurors at the manslaughter trial on Monday, describing the former Marine as a calm and peaceful surfing buff who earned a reputation for honesty. People always spoke so highly of him, says Alexandra Fay, who grew up on the same block as Penny in West Islip. Talking to the Manhattan jurors, for one-time neighbor, who's charged with recklessly choking homeless man Jordan Neely to death on a subway train last May. He was so kind. If anything, he was extra kind. He always spoke up. Faye added, grinning in the direction of Penny 26, who sat at the defense table in the Manhattan Supreme Court. Penny's older sister, Jacqueline, entered the courtroom smiling as well before describing her brother, a smart and focused student who played the upright bass in their high school orchestra, starred on the lacrosse team, and likes to surf as a hobby. This is the All-American kid. This is the All-American good guy.
Joins the service. Serves this country.
And
steps up when there appears to be a problem.
Yeah. And apparently the guy that died, the homeless guy in question, yeah, or whatever, apparently this wasn't his first activity and going out and behaving in such a similar way.
But they said they like to turn it to, well, you know, he was always nice, and he did Michael Jackson impersonations, and they just came up with all kinds of stuff. That doesn't mean that you can't, that you can get by with screaming that you're going to kill people on a subway and not expect some repercussion.
Yeah.
People will believe you.
Yeah. They were talking about K2 synthetic cannabis was found in Neely's system. And, Penny's lawyer, Stephen Razor, raised his voice while questioning why Harris decided Neely's cause of death before receiving a toxicology report. Yeah. Yeah, so that's part. The medical examiner ruled Penny's chokehold to be the cause of death before he got the toxicology report. Look, if drugs can suppress your respiratory system,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you don't have to have a medical degree to know and understand that. So if your respiration system is already being artificially pushed downward, shall we say, by some drug, some medication, in this case, K2 synthetic cannabis, which God knows could really have anything in it, was it really the chokehold itself?
That's the question.
That caused him to die. And even that, and that being said, the people in the subway thought their lives were at risk. They were scared. This guy took action. I guess maybe his crime was maybe he didn't spend enough time on the subways to get desensitized enough to say, oh, not my problem. Hopefully that crazy man will hurt someone else and walk away.
Right.
That's the attitude, I think, with most of them.
Yeah.
They were shocked when somebody stepped up. What? Mm-hmm. You care about other people?
Right.
What are you doing in this town?
Well, that's the out of the ordinary thing. There's a problem.
Yeah. Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines and Peasant, you're on the air.
Morning, Bob. Yeah, this Daniel Penny case, I've been calling in for 20 years now about self-defense in this country. And what the left is trying to do, they want to make it so that no one is allowed to defend themselves or anyone else. And this case is an obvious example of that. And them trying to, the left trying to take people's guns away, pass all these laws that, that make it so specific as to what you can do and can't to defend yourself. Mm-hmm. This is just another perfect example. They want the thugs to be able to run the streets, control the streets, and we have to just sit there and take it and be victims. And if you do anything, you try to defend yourself or someone else, they're going to try to throw you in prison and take your rights away and make an example of you so nobody else tries to do it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And listen, he's going to be found not guilty. That's my heart of hearts. You know, that's in my gut. We'll see. But let's just say he is found not guilty. Is he going to recoup all of that has occurred to him mentally, emotionally, reputationally, just the, you know, the hours of his life that are gone now? And the answer is no. And so no matter what, the outcome is still the same. And the outcome is, don't defend yourself or other people.
That's the message.
Because if it goes sideways, we're going to hold you accountable. Which you know what? Most places have a Good Samaritan law. And that is, if you're legitimately trying to help somebody who's injured, say, on the side of the road, you come up on it, and here's an accident victim, and they're bleeding, and you just do what you can to try to make them comfortable. You've already called, let's say, for medical services, et cetera. Okay. And let's just say you move them, and you might have all the reason in the world to do it. Like, maybe they're partially on the roadway.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want them to get run over. So you move them, and you sever part of the vertebrae, and now the person lives. They're in a wheelchair. And so they tried to keep it to where you couldn't be sued because you had nothing but the best of intentions. You were a good Samaritan. Now, I don't understand. Wouldn't he follow under the same kind of thing? You know what I mean?
That makes sense, yeah.
I mean, he's not trying to do harm.
No.
Harm came to Neely, the homeless guy, as a result, first of all, of his initial actions, and second of all, because someone tried to stop him from behaving in a threatening way. So to me, clearly Penny is a good Samaritan.
I mean, you think about it. If your family was on that subway and you weren't there and this is what's happening, you would hope somebody stands up and takes care of it and at least brings some stoppage to the activity, if nothing else.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because there's many instances, let's just say, where you might want to utilize a chokehold. And most of the time, it's basically you want the person to stop doing whatever they're doing.
Right.
And that's the quickest, easiest way to do it. Because what else would you do? Let's say you use striking force. Now, remember, as it turns out, toxicology, the guy's high on something.
Right.
Is one punch going to knock him out, knock him down? Is he going to stop doing what he's doing with one punch?
And if
that's the case, maybe that would have been the desired way to go.
But if you're wired on something, you know that's not going to work.
Yeah. And what if it takes another blow and another blow? Now, all of a sudden, on two different levels, first of all, you could really be hurting the person or killing them.
Sure.
And it certainly, if anything's on video, they're only going to see the viciousness of what you did.
Beating up a homeless man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the choke hold actually is, if properly applied, is extremely humane. I mean, that's why our instructor taught us. He wasn't trying to teach us something to kill people with, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
So, and it's the same thing with his training. With Penny's training, I think the only reason it went to court is let's punish the do-gooders, and also they try to make a black-white thing out of it, too.
Of course they do.
Yes.
Never fails.
Yep. So we'll see what the outcome is. I think that they'll find him not guilty, but his life will have been turned upside down. Hopefully things will eventually turn out well. I feel for Neely. I don't know what kind of family he has.
Sure.
I don't know that, but if you have this caring, loving family, I mean, I don't know what you're doing running around the subway homeless and
Well, you can drive around Gainesville. There's a guy that you'll see out close to the airport, Waldo Road and 39th Avenue. Now, he's up there with a sign, old guy, long beard, but he's screaming at traffic. He'll step into traffic. I'm like, these people are around here. You don't have to go to New York City.
And yeah, and what do you consider threatening and non-threatening, and what
right.
should you do? Oh, wait until the knife's in your throat. Then you say, now clearly he wants to hurt me.
Yeah.
See, we as Americans, we shouldn't have to play that game. The law should be to the benefit of the normally law-abiding citizens, mm-hmm. and anybody who's behaving in a threatening way, you know, the benefit should go to those that are trying to save themselves and other people.
Yeah.
Not to the weirdo, creepy person. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Is that too simplistic? Is that too logical? I guess it is. 9:49, time now for things that make you smile. Upbeat positive thoughts that you share with us. It's brought to you by Robin Larson Dental. Call in now, 877-975-9825. Things that make you smile. Upbeat positive thoughts next on 97.3 The Sky. Oh, yeah, it's your turn. Time for upbeat positive thoughts, non-political. I know you can do it. Brought to you by the best dentist in the whole world, Robin Larson Dental. Call in now, 877-975-9825. Hey, Mike, what's making you smile?
Good morning, fellas. Another beautiful day. The only thing I got right off the cuff here without getting too long, today I take my last radiation treatment for skin cancer on my face, my whole head. It's going to be a relief not to have to go back there. But I got to tell you, they're very nice people. And my heart and prayers go out to those people that are going through the same stuff. Have a great day.
Bye. Wow. That's fantastic news. And we wish you a full and complete healing, my friend. Mark, what's making you smile?
Hey, Bob and Greg. What's making me smile is I just completed about an hour ago a nice 4 dozen batch of the Quaker Oats Vanishing Oatmeal Raisin Cookies. I'm going to give a bunch to my neighbor as they're driving off to see their grandchildren in Mobile, Alabama, and they probably could benefit from some road snacks. Take care, guys.
I can fix that recipe, by the way.
Yeah?
Throw the raisins away and put chocolate chips in there and be done with it, and you'll be perfect.
See, I thought he was saying that he ate them. I didn't realize he was making them for someone else.
He did it for someone. Yeah, he polished them off.
Yeah, knocked off 3 dozen of those things. I'm not sure you'd be smiling, but...
Yeah, the next batch would be a batch of insulin. Mm. Good morning, Cass. What's making you smile?
Good morning, Bob and team. Excellent show, as always. And I had a little Subway thing. And this is a smiley for you. This was in D.C. Subway, and this guy stole this woman's purse, and she was crying and everything. I said, don't worry, I'll get it. And I was in real good shape. And so I just jumped down in there. No trains were coming. The guy was running. He dropped the purse. I hurried up, grabbed the purse just in time. Then the train was coming. So then I had to hold on to this thing over the side, you know, on the side. And then the train went by. And then I hurried up and hopped all the way back over and gave her a purse, and she was crying. And I explained it to the, there was a, you know, someone that watches over the place, kind of like a sheriff, but not. And he said, great job. So, and I was just smiling. She got her purse back, because she was in tears and everything, and it was really something.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. That makes me smile.
You're a hero. There you go.
It would make me smile to be... where the tracks are when the train's coming by, even if there's a little bit of room there, there ain't a lot.
No.
Yeah.
Good job, though.
You're awesome. Job. That makes me smile, Kaz. All right, folks. Don't go away. We're not done yet. Coming up next, it's the Smoking Gun, and that's brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR.
Dana Lash.
The words you use invoke different aspects of the law.
Now, 10 p.m. night.
And with it, different abridgments of your rights. So you're damn right, language is important.
On 97.3, The Sky.
Time now for The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Large majorities of citizens declaring their support for enforcement of the nation's migration laws following President Donald Trump's victory on November 5th. 72% of citizens support the deportation of illegal migrants who have committed crimes. Just 8 68% strongly oppose. This showed Mayorkas' migration rank just behind inflation as the top issue for voters. The left, they lied and they denied that the border crisis issue that Biden started, they tried to say it wasn't real, and the folks found out. And the lefties lost. And that is your smoking gun. The smoking gun is brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. On behalf of Greg Cassidy, I'm Bob Rose. God bless you and your family. Have a great, safe day. See ya.